We're going to read in Timothy, a few verses in 1 Timothy, and a few verses in 2 Timothy. We're just going to read maybe 4 or 5 verses today. Starting with 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you'll look there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're talking about men of God or men of God today. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Skipping over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, just a couple of pages over likely in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I've never been hung up on titles. I've been called a lot of things. I've been called by my name, and I guess I prefer that. I've been called Father before. Sometimes folks get mixed up with their Catholic tradition, and I've been called Father or been referred to as a priest before. It's a little awkward. Of course, I've been called Pastor. I've been called Reverend. I've been called Brother. If I want to be called Honey Darling or a baby, I go through the McDonald's drive-thru. Hoping my wife will catch on. On a very rare occasion, though, I've been called man of God. And that seems to be almost an awkward thing when someone will walk up to you and say, hey, man of God. It kind of takes you back at first, because all that that may include, all that that might mean to a lot of different people. Nothing wrong with that. In the Old Testament, the phrase man of God is used a lot of times, more than 70 times. In the Old Testament, referring to prophets, kings, you know, men of God of the Old Testament. But only 2 times here in the New Testament is the phrase used, and I've read both of those to you in Timothy. We all, I think, are aware of the fact that Timothy was raised by his mother and his grandmother, and apparently his natural father, his birth father, was absent, maybe because of death, or maybe he deserted the family. No one really knows. We just know that they were the influences in his life. His mother and his grandmother were the 2 powerful family influences in the life of young Timothy until the Apostle Paul came along. And then he became like his spiritual father and literally stepped in to direct him in the ways of the Lord and to take him further into his calling and his purpose. And it was Paul here that refers to him as a man of God. Thou man of God. Now, I don't know that he was saying you're a man of God because he was noticing the qualities of his life, or if he was using that term to say, this is what you need to become. You need to become a man of God. Either way, in those 2 references that I read to you in Timothy, there is this reminder of an important calling that all of us have, not just those who stand up in a pulpit, but for every one of you men, even those of you that might not be fathers yet, you are called of God to be a man of God. Amen. A man of God. Now, it just really, a man of God, it just infers that you are owned by God. You belong to God. You're in his possession. And it's important that we understand that we belong to God as men of God. We belong to God. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the culture. We don't belong to the things and the ways of this world, but men of God belong to God. And we're known as men of God only as we associate ourselves with God's word. As a matter of fact, in almost every case in the Old Testament, the man of God was also a spokesman for God. Now, that doesn't mean you all have to be men who speak a lot for God, but it does mean that you have an association and a relationship with God and a love for God, and you know his word so that whenever you speak, it will contain the truths and the promises of God's word. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. For some of you who might be single mothers, single parents, I just want you to be encouraged to know that Timothy became a mighty pastor, a mighty preacher for God, a mighty man of God, and he was raised up by his mother and his grandmother. No, that doesn't mean he was soft. Doesn't mean he was feminine or sissified. It means he was a man of God. And the key ingredient in Timothy's life was they instilled the truth of God's word in his heart when he was a little bitty guy. They trained him in the word of the Lord. They taught him the principles of the scripture. They were wise unto salvation. Somewhere along the line, as a young person, possibly even as a child, do you know that little children can get truly born again? Little children can really get saved, and they can understand what it is to be saved. It's pretty simple, but what they taught them, first of all, they taught him enough to make him wise unto salvation so that he could know what it means to be saved and to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, all the scripture that you've been taught, all of it is good for you. It is all profitable for you. It's all inspired of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. The word just means complete. And so the Apostle Paul is just saying, Timothy, all these things that your mother and your grandmother instilled in you, in as far as truth is concerned from God's word, it was enough. It is enough for every need, every problem, everything that you ever feel challenged by. You can be completely furnished. You can be complete. You can have everything you need, no matter what the challenges of your life, by knowing the word of God. Amen. I know we're concerned. We want our children to grow up. We want them to have everything that they need. We want them to have the right kind of nutrition. We want them to have good clothes. We want them to have all the things that they would need. And most parents and grandparents will do what they can to make sure they have the basic needs that they really, really do require as they're growing up. But can I just encourage you today to say that there's nothing more important for your little boy or little girl than instilling in them the truths of God's word, giving to them God's word. There's so many wonderful resources for little children today. We don't really have any excuse. There's so many resources for teaching them the Bible, for letting them visualize and see the Bible stories and to learn about God's word. They can learn it, and children can learn so young. It is incredible, their capacity for learning. And so remember, yes, they need an education. Yes, they need all these things that we think are important for them. They need the physical exercise, and they need all of these things in their life. But they really, if they're going to be complete, they need to know God, and they need to know the word of God. Amen. So you're not outdated. You're not foolish. You're not an extremist if you say, I want my children to know God's word. I want them to know the Bible. I want them to understand what God says to them from the pages of God's word. You're not an extremist. You're not a fanatic whenever you just simply say, I want to give them some things in their heart, in their mind, so when they face the challenges of life, they've got the answers. And those answers will come from God's word. You're best prepared to be a man of God that God wants you to be when you learn to live by the principles of God's word. Amen. Amen. Just know the Bible. I'm thankful that I was raised up to know God, raised up in the house of God, raised up in a Christian family where the word of God had an important part of my life. Through my teen years, I didn't really serve the Lord until later in my teen years like I should have. But I can remember with a couple of other boys in my, I believe it was an English class. It might have been a literature class, that the teacher decided to give us a test on our Bible knowledge. It was just a random test. It just passed out a sheet with maybe 50 questions about the Bible. And I was just, you know, kind of a guy that nobody knew. I went to church because I never told anybody. And I was just, you know, a young teenage boy. And I took the test. And the only two people that passed the test, actually made 100 on the test, was me and another boy that was raised up in my church. We both passed the test and made 100% on it. It was the only time I was a little bit ashamed that I knew all the answers, because everybody was looking at me like, you know all that? How do you know all that about the Bible? I learned it in Sunday school. I learned it in the house of God. I learned it at home when my mom read the Bible. I learned it throughout the days of my life. Little did I know that there were certain things that were being instilled in my heart as a child, as a young person, that have carried me through, all down through the years. So everything that you need to be prepared to be, really be a man of God, you can learn it in the pages of God's word. And quite frankly, our children growing up in this society today are going to face every possible lie you can imagine, every possible thing that will that counteracts the culture today is anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-church, makes light of all of those things. And if you want to prepare your children to be able to survive a culture that doesn't love God and doesn't love the Word of God, put the Word of God in their hearts. Amen. Instill it into their hearts. So Timothy was a young man. He was a young man with a lot of potential. The Apostle Paul saw that. He saw that he wasn't just, you know, a little kid raised up by his mom and weak and feminine, but he saw the potential for this man. You're a man of God, Timothy. Thou man of God. Then he gives to him some instructions in this text. A man of God. There's about three things. Actually, it falls into a very simple outline. I've used it many, many times over the years. The first point is flee. The second point is follow. And the third point is fight. Right here in this text. See, Timothy, you're a man of God. Flee these things. What's he talking about? Flee these things. You have to look back to the chapter 6, and to see what he is telling him to flee. It's a whole chapter on contentment. It's a whole chapter on being not loving riches, not pursuing riches, not allowing that to be the goal of your life. He says, flee these things. The word there for flee, the Greek word, is translated to be our English word, fugitive. And it just means run, or run for your life. Run for your life. Now, I want you to know that if someone threw a snake at my feet, I'm not foolish like some people are. It doesn't matter to me. People say, well, it's just a grass snake. It's just a black snake. Just a rat snake. Or just it's just this or that. Snakes are snakes. And as far as I'm concerned, snakes, the only one I like is the one that's dead. I don't like snakes. You can tell me about the virtues of them and how they're good to have around and how they'll never hurt you or harm you. But if you throw a snake at my feet, I'm not going to stare at its mouth to see if it's wide or narrow. I'm not going to stare at its skin to see what kind of markings or colors that it has so I can see if it's dangerous or not. I'm going to run. I'm going to get out of there. I am not staying there where that thing is. I'm getting away from it. I believe it's the same emphasis, the same kind of a word the Apostle Paul was giving to young Timothy here when he tells him, there's some things, Timothy, that you don't sit down with, you don't think about it, you don't converse with it, you don't try to determine if it's good or it's bad. There are certain things in life that you just have to just, you just run from it. You just stay away from it. You get away from it. You avoid it with your whole heart. So what do we run from? Well, he talks in this chapter about discontentment, about having, excuse me, about having things, about loving things of this world and allowing the things of this world to have a hold upon your life. You run from the trap or the snare of riches. You run from covetousness. It says you'll err from the faith. Many that have sought after the things of this world, they may have accumulated them, but they failed in their faith. They made shipwreck of their faith. And they were pierced through with many sorrows. I want you to know the priorities of your life are important. And there's some things you just don't fool around with. And the things of this world, they can grab your attention. They can make you think that they're valuable and important. But they're fleeting. They're passing away. They won't last. And the most important thing is invest your life and everything you have in the things of God. The things of this world, even the greatest of treasures that you can accumulate, it's all going to pass away. It's all fleeting. It's not going to last. And we build our lives on things in this world, loving these things. Oh, if I could just have that kind of a car. If I could just have that size of a house. Or if I could just have those things. And we set our affection upon those things. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy, Timothy, focus on your ministries. Focus on the Word of God. Focus upon knowing God and walking with the Lord. But things that are of this world, don't fool around with these things. Turn and run from them because it's a trap. It's a trap that will cause you to love the things. Another place in 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, he says, flee fornication. Whenever someone involves themselves immorally with someone outside of the bonds of marriage, that's fornication. And whenever he says, run from that. The best example is Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph in Genesis 39 and 12, that he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. The Bible says she kept wooing him, she kept tempting him and trying to get him to involve in an immoral relationship with her. But one day he realized, I'm going to have to get out of here. I cannot endure this temptation. The Bible says that he turned and he ran and he even left his coat behind. He ran with all of his might. The warning is, young men, older men, all of us, flee fornication. Run. Don't think that you have the strength and the character to withstand temptation. If you're going to be a man of God, you have to learn how to be upright and righteous. You have to be a person of character, a person of commitment to your family, to your wife. You have to be that kind of a person. If you're really going to be a man of God, you're going to know that there are some things you have to run from. Amen. Amen. He also, in 1 Corinthians 10 and 14, says, wherefore, dearly beloved, flee idolatry. Well, we know that idolatry is just serving or worshiping anything besides the true and the living God that just catches all of our loves and all of our affections and these things, we have to run from them. Amen. Anything that would steal your affection away from God and away from the things of God and the call of God and your purpose, be a man of God. And run from these things that want to steal your effectiveness for the Lord. Then in 2 Timothy 2 and 22, he says to flee youthful lust. There are certain temptations that are pretty much stronger and a greater temptation during the years of your youth. It's also true that during the years of your youth, that your potential of your life and your future has such great consequences. And so the enemy knows if he can tempt you, if he can get you involved in something that's going to rob you of your walk with God, your relationship with the Lord, you have to run. Some things you have to run from. You have to run with all of your might. You have to turn from that. Get away from it. Anything that can corrupt you, any philosophy, any idea, anything that's of this world. It can be material things. It can be other people. It can be idols. It can be false teachers and bad doctrine. A lot of things can tempt you. And Paul said to Timothy, run. Run with all of your might. Don't sit down at the table. Think you can have dialogue with the enemy and come out of it unscathed. It's not going to happen. Run with all of your might. Turn and go the opposite direction. Don't allow the things of this world to touch you and to influence you and to destroy the potential of your life. But it's not all negative, the Apostle Paul said. That's not all. We don't just run away from things, although we should run from certain things. But he says also that we're to run toward some things with the same zeal and even to a greater degree that we run away from the things of this world and the things that want to entrap us. With a greater zeal and desire, we run toward God, run toward the things of God, and we pursue the things of God. Oh, man of God, flee these things and follow. The word just means to pursue after, to run after, to go after it with all of your might. Maybe it would be worthwhile for every man here to ask yourself the question, what is my ambition? What is my life goal? What am I pursuing? Is it something that's going to last, or is it going to pass away? Because if it's houses, if it's property, if it's possessions, if it's things that are of this world, it's just going to be temporary. And so the warning is for men of God to invest their lives in things that really are going to count, not just for time, but for all of eternity, to give yourself and to pursue the things of God with all of your might. And he gives some insight in here into what we need to be pursuing. He says, follow after righteousness. Follow after righteousness. Righteousness is just doing the right thing before men. You're always being watched and observed. Always do the right thing. I don't think the problem is so much that we don't know that we're doing wrong and we just fall and make a mistake. I know that can happen. But for the most part, I think most of us know right from wrong. And we know when we're making decisions that are going to lead us away from God. Righteousness is doing the right thing. It's just practical things, practical righteousness. Doing the right thing, just doing what you know to be right and following the truths and the principles of God's word. And then the next thing is godliness takes it a little deeper, because righteousness has to do with our outward deeds and our actions, but godliness has to do with our heart and our motives. So it goes a whole lot deeper, that we learn the importance of having a heart that's pure and right before the Lord. And the Word of God has great influence upon our mind and upon our heart. The ability to have a heart that's pure. God's Word is a cleansing agent that affects our minds and our hearts. So you read it, you study it, you meditate upon the Word of the Lord. And that's how a young man cleanses his ways, by taking heed unto the word of the Lord. He reads it. He meditates on it. He studies God's word, and it has that cleansing power to cleanse your mind and to cleanse your heart. Godliness. Amen. Not only doing what's right, that's righteousness, but doing it from a heart that is right, to have the right motive. And you know, the battle is usually won or lost in our hearts and in our minds. Whether or not you really are what God wants you to be will often be determined by your heart condition. Amen. Amen. So he says, certain things don't chase after, don't run after them, but do with all of your might and all of your heart, you run after godliness and righteousness and faith. Chase after these things with your whole heart. Amen. To have a faith that is unshakable, to have a confidence in God, no matter what. I'm telling you, we live in such a time today that it's incredible the amount of opposition that there is to God, to the church, to just the principles of righteousness that are in God's word. The church is made fun of, preachers are made fun of, and the church becomes almost as if it doesn't count in culture or society today. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to be strong in a world that hates the things of God. But yet we have a responsibility to do just that, to know God's plan, to know his word, to know his promises, and to live according to that faith. And then love and patience and meekness, all of these are qualities of the man of God that he's to be pursuing, chasing after these things and not the things that we tend to really be pursuing after in all of our life. So first of all, he said flee, run from. Then he said follow, run after. And then he says fight, the good fight of faith. The word there just means noble. The fight, the good fight. Every fight is not a good fight. But there are some fights that are important to fight. They're important that we take a stand. They're important that we fight the good fight. That's the good fight of faith. The noble fight. The fight that requires that you lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou hast been called. Today, the world of America is a world that once was a nation under God. We're not there anymore. And it's not so much a political state. It's in both political parties. It's pretty much just a general spirit of the age today. It's not a political thing. It is definitely a spiritual darkness that is swept into this nation. The only answer is a church that is willing to fight the good fight, to hold on to truth, to hold on to the commandments, to hold on to that which has been committed. He told Timothy, hold on to the things that have been committed unto you. Don't allow those things to slip. Make sure that you hold fast unto those things. Verse 19 of this chapter, he says, lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Fathers, men of God here today, there are certain things that have been committed to our trust, and we are responsible to take the stand, to fight the fight, and to make sure that many of these things, we have to be the one, we have to be the guardian of our household and our family. Amen. We have to be that one that is strong to stand. Sure, you love and you have compassion and you love your family, but sometimes it requires that you be the person that says, no, this is not the way we need to go. This is not what we need in our family. This is what we don't need this in our life. Let's avoid this. Let's run after God. Let's don't chase after. Be the guardian of your household, the guardian of your family. This trust has been committed to you. Be a man of God and do the things that the Lord has called you to do. Yeah, there's a battle, and we are faced with this struggle, but we are responsible to protect the truth, to hold fast to the truth, to declare the truth. More important than the preaching that comes from the pulpit is the preaching that comes from your daily life, men of God. Your daily life, your daily decisions, the things that are in your heart, the things that are important to you. Be a man of God. Young ladies, I know when you're looking for a young man, You're probably thinking, well, I want one that's really, really handsome, cute, or whatever the word is you want to use. I really like to have somebody who's got some money. And you've probably got your list. I want them to have all these qualities. Have you ever thought about putting at the top of the list, man of God? Man of God. More important than all of those other things. Man of God. Amen. And if you'll seek after the will of God, God can provide you with just that person. Young Timothy, influenced by his mother and his grandmother and his spiritual father that God gave to him, who pointed him in the ways of the Lord and told him, Timothy, some things you have to run from, some things you have to run after, and some things you have to fight for. You just have to fight for. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have today, Lord, to look into the pages of your word, because we know that in the scripture there is life, there are answers, and there's everything that we need to live a life that's pleasing to you. So, Lord, I thank you for the example of Timothy, for the example of this young man of God, and how that you used him. And I pray, Lord, that right here in this group today, you would raise up young men of God, young men who that will put you first, that will chase after you, Lord, that will pursue you, Lord, and not allow the things, the glitter, the glamour, the attraction of this world to pull us away. Help us, Lord, to set our priorities and not chase after the things that are temporal, that are passing away. But Lord, to pursue God, to pursue eternal things, to pursue the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Minister to all the men here today. And if there are those in this service that are not saved, they're not Christians, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their heart and help them to see they need you. They need to be saved. Do a work this Sunday morning, this Father's Day. We thank you in Jesus' name.